This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Stella the two throw sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her, time to drag her, drag her.
No! Can you believe he continues to come in at 102 degrees Fahrenheit? He can't be stopped. I don't know why you're gagging, so he bring it to you every podcast. I am so excited to be bringing you Drag Her, the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race podcast from the HeadGum people. People who brought you such podcasts as Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byer and others. We are so excited to be here with you today. I have an amazing guest. He's a friend. He's a drag compatriot. He's a scholar. And he's a fucking blast. Keep it going for Ryan Barton.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Whoa. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing so good. It is a beautiful summer day. I'm wearing shorts.
You look good.
Thanks. I feel like I look like I'm a cyclist, and I like that.
Yeah, you have a summery shirt.
Very summery.
So summery.
New, by the way. This is I hate to give this tip away, but I have a place, and I every time I need a new shirt to make me feel a little bit better, I go to the Glendale Marshalls, and it always has something
for me. Whoa.
Yeah.
So I like this.
Yeah.
What's Marshall's tagline? It's not dress for less. We all know that's Ross.
Get in and get out as fast as you can.
Get in and get out.
Yeah.
Well, I am so excited to have you here, Ryan. We do a lot of comedy together. We do improv together with Queer World and Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
We've done a stupid, fun, gay video called Straight Zombies. We've done UCB Drag Race together.
We've done a lot of projects together.
We've done a lot together.
Yeah.
Just to start to get to know your taste in drag.
Sure.
What's your favorite Drag Race season?
Okay, so I would say my favorite season is 6.
Okay,
and my
good
favorite,
one.
And you'll understand this. My favorite drag star is Adore Delano.
I love that answer.
I feel like that is me. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
Wow.
I maybe lean a little bit more like kawaii with, like, my drag, but, like, that attitude, the Adore Delano attitude is, like, me.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love Adore Delano. I don't think we've yet to see someone as charming, as plainly charming as her.
I know.
In an unaffected way.
I know.
On her Meet the Queen special where she says, "Hi, my name is Adore Delano, I'm 2 years old, and I'm from the ocean."
Yeah.
I die.
Yeah, she's not. She comes in hot and heavy without being super heavy. She's super light, actually.
She's so good. And she gets. Do you feel you have one of her pitfalls of relying on your charm or no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I perform a bunch. And
you do.
We know this. It's like sometimes when you're like, okay, I've got nothing else. I just go to, what's it called? Charisma Prov or like.
Yeah.
Or like even, but even doing.
But you're good at it.
Thanks.
It's like hard for you to be unfunny.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's just personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just know how to deliver. You're, it's a super strength of yours where you're like, I know this is funny.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's, maybe like that's a weird way to put it, but like,
no.
You're just like, I know this is funny and that's what I'm leading with.
That is, you know, I describe how I perform this way. Cause like now that I've been doing Heralds on UCB, I'm like coaching a lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll find it difficult sometimes cause I'll be like, oh, it's hard to explain to people that like the way I do improv is I jump out of the plane and just hope someone gives me a parachute. Like,
true.
Because I'm like, I know this is the thing, but someone's got to help me like figure out why. And then once I know the why, then I'm like, great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a super strength. One time we did a show together where people in the front row wouldn't shut the fuck up. They were like three drunk girls.
Oh my, yes.
I want to say they were lesbians. They were at our cruel trolls, and they were lesbians in a complicated love triangle.
Yes.
Because they were having a fight during our show.
They were fighting the entire, until they left, but like, it was loud. It was so annoying. And I was shocked.
You made an amazing move to, like, when they were talking, like, start a scene where you sat on the lip of the stage and started talking to them.
Yeah, that is the Chicago Ryan coming out.
Very that.
Because I was like, not my, that to me, that show is so sacred to me.
Right?
And I was like, not in my house.
Where it's like, oh, tonight. You want to talk? Let's talk.
Yeah.
You wanted to talk, honey. Let's talk.
Yeah. That was honestly so fun.
That was genius. That was such a funny move.
And then I loved all of you guys just coming in. So that it's like the whole team was on the other side. That was so great.
I love yelling at people.
You got so
excited. Got a little.
I was like, mano, mano, it's okay, baby.
I know. I'm like a dog on a chain that's like the link is like stretching.
Yes.
I could go at any moment. It's like cute if I'm still on the leash, but I could break.
And I'll tell you what, sometimes I hold the leash, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I let go.
Oops. So we're today talking about the Untucked of the final episode. Do you have a favorite Untucked season? Is it still season 6 Untucked, which is pretty fun?
You're going to be, so I kind of consider you an encyclopedia of everything Drag Race.
I could stand to learn anything else about anything else in the world.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
But you haven't.
And I refuse.
Yeah, and you don't have to.
No.
As he sips La Croix. So I, on the other hand, have come at Drag Race specifically at a very, like season 3 was the start for me. And I was like, okay, this is weird. This is fun. My roommate made fun of me for watching it, but like they totally did, which was so weird. Now it's like super hip, so like I doubt if we could revisit they wouldn't. But in terms of Untucked, I didn't even know that existed.
Fair.
I didn't even know Untucked existed until really like, oh my gosh, like late seasons. Like I would say season like 8.
Right.
Like, I didn't even, but however, like, I've gone back, though, to watch, like, the faves. So it's like, I know all the,
yeah. Has LaGanja.
Oh, those ones, I went back, because I just went down the YouTube hole.
Right.
You know what, I'm going to say also season 6, because it just was so, okay.
Good.
I just want to, this is why I like season 6. I feel like season 6 was the one to, season 5 was amazing and incredible. But that is the reality show we know. We know the standard. It was it was the most amazing version of the standard. Great. Season 6, however, the character arcs and the story arcs were gorgeous, I thought.
It's the best top 3, I think, that's ever existed.
That one, season 5, All Stars 2 are my top 3s.
Yeah. I think I like season 6's top 3 the best.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're saying like top... Got it.
Oh, just those top 3 contestants.
I meant seasons. Okay, top 3 contestants.
The top 3 contestants are just so good.
Yes, oh my God.
You know? And it's just like, because like a lot of times in the top 3, there's usually one where you're like, yeah, fucking right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was really...
Why was Pearl in the top 3 of season 7? I'm not disparaging her. I think she's very talented.
Yeah.
But her work on that season.
Who was right below her?
It was Pearl, Ginger, Minj, and Violet Chachki.
No, but who was fourth? It wasn't Katya.
Kennedy Davenport.
Kennedy Davenport, yes.
Which was pretty crazy.
I thought Kennedy did pretty great.
I thought she should have been in the top 3.
I thought she should have been in the top 3 as well.
At the end of that season, I was like, what's happening?
That to me felt a little. I'm sure you've covered it, but it did feel like a little overproducey.
It was very overproduced. Because
I think they're coming off the success from 6.
Right. And like, how do we top it?
They're like, we need that Pearl story. We need to finish it. We need that young, young queen to succeed.
But and as I'm we like, know, she never gave her full story, which is good.
I know, yeah.
Which is, I mean, like, for her purposes, good, because I understand her story is complicated and dark in ways that I'm glad reality TV wasn't able to exploit.
Yes.
It didn't make for great TV.
For sure.
Because it was just like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
Why?
You know, I was watching, you know, Hey Queen?
Yeah.
Which is, so I just watched the Pearl Hey Queen.
And
it just, she spills a lot of tea. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I gained a lot of respect for her because it's like she like knows she, like, what's the word I'm looking for? She knows the character she portrayed.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, honey, this is how it was. I didn't expect it to be like this. It was weird. Like, we all have to do what we have to do.
Yeah.
But, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, because also it's like RuPaul doesn't really, like, talk to the queens. Like,
right.
She's also, like, very old and right. very in, like, doing her thing.
It's, yeah. And I want to sympathize just because I'm just like, you know, you're like, when you've been living your life as a queer artist and you get to that point and you are trying to unlock new achievements in your career, I see how you can get more passé with these things, but I also understand how a young drag artist could be crushed by these passé moments.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I, you know, here's something I'll say.
Say it.
I won't. Oh, here she goes, though.
Okay.
I honestly want, like, I have seriously considered, because I think it would be so fun to do Drag Race. Like,
oh my God, you should.
My only thing, though, is I need to learn to paint my damn face.
Well, like, me too, honestly. I get help with my face, and it's bad.
Have you ever, I mean, I'm sure you have, just doing, even doing, like, eyeliner by yourself is, like, the greatest challenge.
It's fucking hard.
Oh, God. Oh, I, like,
well, this is what, I want to talk about your drag persona. You do,
sure.
You perform as Bottomless Mimosa.
Yes.
You have a amazing web series.
Yes.
Where you are Bottomless Mimosa.
Yeah.
Is it available to watch online?
It is available to watch online.
Where?
Either it's called We're Gonna Murder My Boyfriend.
Okay.
It's starring a bunch of really fun people.
So good.
Thank you.
You have to watch this.
It's the best dumb, low-budget drag
it's
narrative
amazing.
Film. Like, you, it's so fun.
It's really funny.
Thank you, model. That's so sweet.
You have to. I'm telling everyone.
Yeah,
go watch this.
You can find it on YouTube, but I like put the episodes on YouTube. But like most of the traffic went through Facebook, so you can mm-hmm. either watch it on Facebook or YouTube.
Yes. So Bottomless.
Yes, Bottomless Mimosa.
So as a whole, Bottomless Mimosa, she is a little kawaii.
She is very, I call her like kawaii, very blue, bubblegum, yummy, yummy.
She's a
gumdrop.
She's like a dumb slut.
Yeah,
she's also like a prodigy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had so much fun. So UCB Drag Race
mm-hmm.
was
the regular season.
The All Stars I thought was like, it was a damn dream. Like,
you were the Alyssa Edwards.
Yeah.
In terms of like when you got knocked out,
oh
people
my God.
Were like, oh,
I got
you got knocked out of the top four.
I know. Honestly.
And people lost their minds.
I am so sad I didn't get to do finals. But like also the time I had truly was so fun. And I was talking to Oscar about this, who is the co-host.
Mm-hmm. Oscar Montoya, yeah. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Like, so I really got to craft that character.
I didn't,
you know what? She was Rickety Bambi Legs season mm-hmm. 2 when I did it. And then that's how I met most of my best friends. And that's why I did the inspiration to film and write, like, We're Gonna Murder My Boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then coming in and doing All Stars, I got to, like, literally craft Bottomless Mimosa for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. Because now I think, like, I know that bitch. Like,
yeah.
I know her. I know that style.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So fun.
I'm actually...
You... Yeah, please, what are you actually doing?
Well, I just was like, I talked to you about this. I'm writing a little spin-off show for Bad Drag Race.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like Bottomless Mimosa Wants Her Crown.
I love it.
And it's going to be yummy, yummy,
ooh,
dumb and funny.
I can't wait. Because we were both there when a lot of drama happened in the UCB Bad Drag Race world.
Yes.
It's just that thing of like when you're in, like the real Drag Race, when you're in the psychological experiment, things happen you didn't even anticipate happening.
I am sad. You know what I'm sad about?
What?
I'm sad because I hate that you're not going to do it again. I know exactly why.
I might lie and do it again.
I felt bad because I think a lot of people came in with that mentality. And here's the thing. I'm the most competitive person in the world. But mm-hmm.
Oh, I've played Mario Party with you.
Yeah.
I played Mario Party with you. I was like, calm down, Shy Guy.
Yeah.
Take a break, Monty Mole. Relax, Daisy. Yeah.
Yeah, that is all true.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I feel like I went into it of just like, this is a gift. And, and I'm every month that I get to stay is amazing.
Yeah.
And like, I wish, I also didn't expect the amount of feelings people had about it, deep feelings, because it's such a special show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am sad it got a little tainted like that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like, everyone's fine. It's just a show.
It's just
I think people are still healing, maybe, but like, it's gonna be great.
We'll get over it. We're gay. We're such dramatic lunatics.
I know. God, we all need
everything.
Just a hug.
Every mountain's a molehill. And to bring it to a bigger topic, like in the gay community, you know, I think we have a hard time. I think it's like, how do I put this? I think I've always thought like, so within the gay community, it's so our relationships with other gay men, especially. Yeah. Can get very tough and rough quickly. I guess what I'm saying is like there's an added I think we're all damaged as gay men. Mm-hmm. So sometimes like when gay men are forced to interact in each other, let's say in realms of sexuality, in realms of friendship, in realms of kikikery.
Yeah. Love, put that on a shirt.
Kikikery. It gets complicated because we're also damaged and we're all trying to prevent future damage that it makes us push each other away instead of pull each other closer.
Yeah, I will say it's one of the most frustrating things about the community for me.
Yeah,
and it's really sad because I think when you have a gay friend, that is like such a special relationship.
Yeah.
To me, those are things that I hold very dear and I protect them like at all costs.
Yes.
And I do think, when you put a bunch of gay men in competition with each other, it kind of brings out those like thorns and those scabs and those wounds that we're all triggered by, which is sad. But it's like, I really wish our community could be way more like together.
I know. And I'm only now getting over those wounds. Like, I know for me in the past, and I know for me, my trigger is sexuality stuff. Because, I was so desperate.
Yeah.
I was so desperate to be seen as attractive and sexual in the gay world that it caused me to react very poorly and irresponsibly and immaturely towards other gay men. Because when I felt like they didn't want to fuck me, I was like, fuck you too. I was like, I hate you. I don't even like you. And it's just like, I'm such an immature baby that I wanted that validation at all costs, and that prevented me from getting to know other gay men in a more meaningful way.
Totally. Wow. That is very well, very good self-analyzing.
You know, I got to read myself like a book.
Yeah, you really? I was
the
like,
Bible.
Damn, that is. And also, we as gay men, we do not get a head start in anything.
No, we're behind.
So we are behind. So it's like, I get that even further.
Yeah.
Of like my 20s have been such a wonderful.
It's your like middle school dating.
It really, it's very weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
It's so crazy.
When'd you come out, by the way?
Early college.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, Annie. Well, we should dig into the app, shouldn't we?
Let's do it.
We should. Good Kikis. So we're in an untucked, the final untucked of the season, arguably anticlimactic, but it's like, it's definitely maybe it's one of the only times this happens. Where you do an untucked of the finale.
Yeah, I think this is like, they're like, oh, right, we don't do this for the finale.
Right, we stopped doing it. Okay, stopped it doesn't make
that.
Sense.
Yeah.
We have that long 2-minute bumper in the beginning, which I have to say, just some of my favorite. One of my favorite line in that bumper is when Chanel says, "No offense, but you look like a fucking clown." Can you imagine saying that to someone?
So,
no offense, but you look like a fucking clown.
In the Drag Race world, absolutely. I can't wait to say it to someone.
Yeah. Who's your favorite shit thrower in the world of Drag Race? Who's your favorite, like, just... You can say Bianca.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
You know?
But I don't want to because watching her perform in videos, I can't stand her.
Mm.
I cannot stand her. She does not, as a comedian and as a good comedian, I'm like, you need to let people have their moments, do their things. She's like, she just talks all over. And I'm like, she's so good and so savage and I live for her. But I'm like, give your people like...
Give them a break.
Give them a break. Or just like share. Let... share. I think the word is share.
Yeah.
So in terms of... I'm not going to say Bianca. So maybe I'll say... I don't know. I thought Adore is really... I hate that I keep using Adore.
I love Adore.
I loved her and Laganja's thing. Because, like, yeah. Also Adore just feels, like, super mature in, like, how she approaches arguments.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, really, girl? Is that how you want to say that?
Oh, I love
okay,
that.
Okay, girl. Well, as long as you're looking in a mirror, all right. She's very subtle about it.
Telling the truth.
Yeah.
Manila is a kind of who's good yours? One, too. I kind of like, well, like, just because Manila, like, a lot of times Manila. Just breaks it down and is just, like, says the truth, where she's just like, oh, I said that because I want to win.
Yeah.
I said that because I want to win the competition, and that's what we're all trying to do. Like, just breaks it down and gets through all that bullshit in a way that's like,
yeah,
I'm not going to help you win. I'm trying to win.
Totally.
Love her. And then the messier ones, Mystique Summers. From season two.
All right. I never watched season two.
Oh, my God. She's great and
crazy.
Should I
go back?
Yes. Yes. That Untucked is also amazing.
Okay.
It has some real messy fights.
Mystique Summers.
Mystique Summers Madison Q Lattisall. She's a big queen with a lot to say. She's a big queen who doesn't eat fried food because it messes up her skin.
Copy.
It's so good. It's so good. Okay. I also love Tatiana. I live for Tatiana.
I love Tati.
Tati. Okay. And then we have this. So we're in the episode. They're in the Form Decor Lounge. They talk about how rude it was that they had to do stand-up. Can you believe they made drag queens do stand-up as their final challenge?
It feels rude. It feels rude.
Rude.
I was like, girl, that is so tough.
It's so tough.
Like, I like that they have it normally now in, like, the middle of the season. Because mm-hmm. I think it is, like, a really fun challenge. Mm-hmm. And I also love to see queens soar that don't think they can. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's my favorite to watch. Because
mm-hmm.
The good queens always do great. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes. But the funny queen, I like it because the funny queens get to be funny. And then sometimes you have this, like, dark horse that comes out of nowhere. And then they're like, kill it.
Yeah, for like a Coco does the roast in season 5. And
oh, yeah.
Just wins it.
I know, insane.
What?
The, what was I going to say about the,
them doing stand-up.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because it's like, I don't think, hey, I don't care if you do good stand-up or not. I don't think I want to judge that as like your final.
No, I think it should have been more of just like a ball or what else? A lip sync or something.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't know. The stand-up, did you see any, what did you think of those stand-up sets?
Not bad.
Yeah.
And I think that I thought for people who, because like I do strictly improv.
Right.
I haven't really done stand up. It really terrifies me.
I did some in college.
Okay.
But I'm sure it was god awful.
Yeah.
Because I was in college.
Right. Oh, God. I can't wait. I'm going to get into it. I think.
I am really curious about it.
Yeah. I want to try it.
I love owning a room.
Yeah.
I love doing crowd work.
Totally.
I know a lot of times comedy is just being loud, confident, and taking a break after you say something.
Nailed it. Guys, you don't have to take any classes. You've heard it here first.
Truly, any joke can be improved by being loud and hitting your mark.
I mean, that's how we do it.
Right?
Yeah.
Truly.
You and I in a scene, it's just that.
It's just loud.
And no one gets, it's very quiet off stage, but us, it is very loud.
So I also talked about last week, I have to bring this back up, how scary unearned laugh cutaways are. Is anything scarier than like you watching a performance where something mildly funny happens and then they show the audience going like, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, very weird actually.
Creepy.
But also, maybe creepy for you, I wish that happened in real life for me. Like whenever something really blows for me, I just hope someone's like, oh my God.
There was just someone you could cut away to?
Yes.
Laughing? I think it should be a full horror movie. Unearned laugh cutaways.
I'm in. She's in.
This fall.
Oh, God. Paid $16 to watch something you could pay $32 at the comedy store for.
Yeah. 2 drink minimums. How about 4? This fall, Halloween comes early and punchlines come late.
Oh, the big laugher sits behind you.
And then we have them talking about how hard it was. There was some workroom footage in this Untucked that we didn't get to see in the real episode, like Chad breaking down thinking about her comedy routine.
Yeah.
She's working out her MILF comedy routine. Juju's comforting her. There's more footage of Chad giving her point of view as an old dead drag queen. Which I generally love.
Yeah.
You can poke fun at yourself. You're always going to get your audience on board.
I think it's interesting, like, because it's very a la Alaska, All Stars 2 for me.
Yes.
It's very, like, keep it perfect, and then you miss. You miss only slightly.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, in shambles.
Remember when Alaska loses her mind in season 2 of All Stars? Season 2 of All Stars is so good.
I know. Also, when you think about it, she maybe should have been in the bottom too, or went home for that one.
Here's the ultimate catch-22 Matrix-style blue pill, red pill. It's like, I wanted Alyssa in that top four, but that means we never would have gotten, I'm Roxy Andrews, I'm here to make it clear, you know you love me, baby, that's why you brought me here. Was a bitch on season 5, but I'm here to make it right. Give me a sewing challenge and I'll give you what you like.
I know.
Go, yeah. More.
God, put her in my closet in the middle of the night.
What would have been better, honestly, if you had to pick? Did we want the Alyssa verse with choreography, or are we glad?
Did. Yeah, no, we wanted Alyssa.
I agree. What if Alyssa won? Alyssa doesn't have a crown, Ryan.
I know. She doesn't need one.
She doesn't need one. You're right, but it kind of kills me on the inside.
Maybe one day there's going to be something where she does, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think she's out of it yet.
Yeah.
What if that bitch wins an Emmy for something?
Oh,
that
she just might.
That to me is it.
That's it. Her speech.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's going to be they're going to play the RuPaul song, and then she's going to be able to do the thing.
Oh, my God.
My name's Alyssa Edwards. I own a big hat. It's a big hat. It's a 10-gallon hat. Fill it with some water. Fill it with some thongs. Fill it with my bra. Bing, bong. I don't know. Whatever. You got it.
I think that was giving her too much credit.
That is giving her too much credit, yeah. It'd be more like, I have a hat. Hattie, hat. H-A-T, hat.
Eyes and lips and pop, pop, pop. Have you heard her tongue pop song? I kind of do love it.
No.
It's pretty funny. But it is just
queuing it up right now.
This is an Alyssa Edwards exclusive. The remix on the mix.
Yeah.
So they're chatting in the Untucked Lounge. They're talking about who they think the top two is. They actually are like, oh, we all agree. We already know who the top two is. They say it's pretty obvious that it's Chad and Raven. Do you agree?
I do, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty damn obvious.
I think it's pretty obvious. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, I remember watching the season. I think I dropped off because it was like, I really wasn't into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just think it was Raven's and Chad's season, very obviously. And like Juju, I love Juju, but like Juju B, I don't think she brought it or had the wins there or even like that. At the last minute, va-va-voom.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, her looks still have never, they never, like, take it over the edge of glory.
Yeah.
They're always just like, yeah, that's cute.
Yeah. I would love to see, I was watching it, and I was like, I think everyone who did All Stars 1 should get a retry if they want to.
I agree.
I would like to see Juju B now.
I agree.
As, like, an old, haggard Sass queen.
I wonder, if she would like. I mean, either way, she's just perfect. Her talking heads are the best in the biz. She's funny. She accomplishes that perfect goal of being real but hilarious.
Yeah, God, she's
without
great.
Overproducing herself. God, in season 7, there were so many overproduced moments where like all the girls had too many. They just had too many. Like even Jessen Masters, who I love, but when she says, no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade. I'm just like, oh my God, that is so obviously affected and produced and bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love Jasmine Masters.
You know what? I just realized that's the only reason why I want to be on Drag Race. I want a talking head moment. They never really use me, but they do cut to me and I just go, man, oh boy, can you believe?
She wore what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I would love to see you do that.
Yeah, I would say, like, honestly, this Untucked too, it's like, I think they kind of know. Like, everyone knows. I think maybe there's a little bit of a hint. Maybe Juju B, like, might get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she thinks she might get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Chanel really wanted it, was really surprised by that.
Yeah.
Also, Chanel feels like a queen to me that I'm like, I don't know if you would have done as great if it were solo.
Yeah.
To me, she feels carried. And I feel like Raven and Juju B, it was kind of down the middle a little bit.
Yeah, it was down the middle at certain points.
But I think looks-wise.
Looks-wise, we know Raven kills it with that like Harajuku look she gave.
Yeah. I love her finale look.
I loved it. And yeah. it was simple really, and minimal. It was unbelievable. Great. They're chatting a little bit. Chad's like, I got lucky. Just like, shut up. Chad's that friend who like is so good, but like loves to pretend she's humble.
Yeah.
Like, she's just like, I got lucky. It was like, we know you slept 2 hours last night preparing for
would
this.
Would you be a humble queen?
I think you have to. I think so. I mean, like, what choice do you have? You can't be in the room and just be like, yeah, I think so. I think I would pull a little bit of that stunt that Chad Michaels pulling, which is like, because I just want everyone to feel respected and lovely, but.
You do work from that corner as a human.
Well, thank
you. So I think that, like, does fit. But to me, I'm like, I think you're allowed to be a little bit, like.
You should be sometimes.
If you're good and you nail it, like it's almost like I want, in those moments, I want Chad to just like own it a little bit more.
I think you're right.
I think it would make her more charming.
I think you're right.
We like someone who just tells the
truth.
It's
real.
It's real.
It's really real. And I mean, like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, it's like Trinity Taylor, for instance, is really fun. And like, she's someone who's like, oh, I deserve to win.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. Yeah. And you can disagree with me. But it's refreshing when she's like, you did do good. And like, I love that conviction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conviction is pussy.
It's how I approach things, for sure.
You should.
Everyone knows this, but it's like, I'm like, girl, if you have a good show, like, own it. Like, be so pumped that you had a good show. Like,
you have to let the universe know. You got to let a bitch know.
Yeah. I do think there are better ways to do it, and there's some not better ways to do it, but yeah.
But nothing's more annoying than someone who feels too down on themselves. Or doubt. It's so annoying. Or like someone who's just like, I don't know. I think I did good.
I hate it. You're like, yes, you did good.
Yes, you did. That is actually annoying.
You know you did good.
Or
you're just fishing. You're fishing. She's going fishing.
Okay, so Juju brings up her things. They have a little, they like, again, talk about how awful it was to lip sync against someone. Have you ever been in a position where like you had to like have a weird competitive thing with a friend, or like you let a friend win? Have you ever had that?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna say blanket statement, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And to me, because I feel like I love being competitive, I love competition, but on the real, like, I got a heart in there somewhere underneath all this cinnamon crust. But like, I absolutely would be like, if it's way more important to that person and it's like that kind of a thing, it's just like, girl, just take it. Cause like, I care, but like, not to the point where I'll sob tonight if I don't.
See, I agree.
Oh, you know what? I play. So this guy, Matt Pav out here, you've played one of his games.
I have a Survivor. He does a Survivor.
He does Survivor and Big Brother. I played Big Brother, had a blast. I won. It was amazing.
I won.
It was incredible.
Oh my God.
That's how I know Jenna.
Great.
From Are You the One? We were in an alliance together.
Oh my God. I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah. But also, I did, another friend of ours did like an all-star Survivor and I got to do it and it was so fun. But that's where I mean, where I'm like, sometimes people there care too much. And I'm like, guys, this is still like a game. Like, it's really a game.
Okay.
Like, it's just a game. And like those times I'm like, it's okay if y'all want to vote me out to like keep the peace. Cause like, this has been fun, but like ease up.
I got to fifth place in that Survivor.
Oh my God. I got to fifth.
Oh my God.
I brought the, I messed up. I was going to win. I played my best game. I played idols when I should. People gave me idols.
Really?
I voted people out. No one knew I was doing it. It was my best game. And we were coming up, me and like four women. And literally, they started throwing me under the bus. And
I love it.
I went home because I didn't, during that tribal, just call everyone out and be like, you guys do need me for the next round.
They brought up cat food. One of you needs me.
Yeah.
They brought out cat food, and I was like, I don't care.
Oh my God, they brought out hot sardines, and I was like, I'm going to go home because I refuse to eat this.
I don't care. Yeah, I'm not going to vomit for this. Amazing. Well, we're going to talk about the second half of the Untucked in a bit, right after this break.
Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Ooh, it's heating up, baby. That means it's time to make plans for summer. Now, this summer, you could be a basic bitch and you could go to New York or you could go to LA or you could go to, I don't know, Mykonos. Bitch, shut your basic ass down and shut the fuck up before I get you down. What I'm really saying is you need to go somewhere fun. If you have pride, you need to go somewhere that is an adventure filled with pride. I'm not talking about the same places that you've seen on Instagram already. No! Don't you have an imagination, girl? Get your ass to Provincetown, because Provincetown is not only queer Mecca, it's a place where cultural diversity takes pride. Come on! Do you like glamour, dining, dancing, entertainment, hiking, biking, beaches, and more? I know I do. That's why I'm going to P-Town this summer, baby. P-Town is so fun. If you haven't been, you're really missing out. It is, has a small town vibe, but there's stuff going on 24/7 like it is a big city. You get the best of both worlds. You live your bungalow fantasy. You get to go out. You get to see drag. You get to be amongst all the queers. And you get to do it in a cute, beautiful little town that has events like Pride, Girl Splash, Bear Week, Family Week, Carnival, and Trans Week. I love P-Town. And if you want a good time, you need to plan your trip now. So sashay your way to ptowntourism.com, the official guide to Provincetown. That's ptowntourism.com, and learn more about what kind of fantasies you can unfold this summer. Better do it quick before everything gets booked up, diva. Go to ptowntourism.com. Ah, we're back. How was your break, Ryan?
It was relaxing.
Ugh, reflective. So we're back in the Forme de Coeur lounge. And let's see, here we go. Here they find a bowl of Tic Tacs. I think of these gals, Chanel is the only one who has not had a Tic Tac lunch. Fun factoid. They don't do the Tic Tac lunch anymore. They do the podcast.
They do the podcast, yeah.
Do you think they partially got rid of the Tic Tac lunch because it's like kind of flippantly supports eating disorders?
Yes. I think it is like it was a fun, dumb thing. But also more than that, I think they probably just did it because RuPaul's got a plug. She's a plug queen.
She's a plug queen.
I mean,
she's making her money.
When you think about it, it is genius to me that all they lip sync, like the first 9 million seasons, they only lip sync to RuPaul's songs.
Oh, and it's repackaging is unbelievable.
It's and I honestly, like, I... RuPaul was like on my playlist for a while. Like I would listen to it and just because I love it.
Tricked me into liking songs I didn't think I liked.
Even recently I'm like, yeah. What is that song? Okay, I'll download it. Okay.
Yeah. I'll even listen to Super Queen.
Oh, give me
the fast one, not the slow one.
No, the fast one's only.
Remember the slow one at the finale?
Oh, boo.
That
boo.
Really go fucked home. Me up. Yeah. That was fucked up.
Mono, I'm looking at you. You look tired.
She's a super queen.
Jesus Christ. Okay, great. So we go to the gold bar, and guess who's in the robe bar? The gold bar. It's Rue herself. She's wearing the same stunning hair from the episode, minus the flower, and like a sort of a stunning little dress she cinched for the gods. She looks amazing, and it's sort of a mini untucked reunion here with the four finale gals before the crowning. She's going to talk to all of them, get in their business, and see if they have what becomes a legend most.
So I know we're gonna get into that.
Yes.
I do not remember in this episode, do they, this is something I love about the finales, is when they pull out their kid pictures.
They did not do this.
They did not do that, right?
No, not at this time. They weren't doing that yet.
That is sad to me because I absolutely love, there's what I remember, this is when I was going through a real hard time, like 2015, circa Ryan, depressed, whatever. And I remember I was like drunk, like wine drunk, watching the finale for the one with season 8. No, sorry, season 9. And it was like Shea Coulee was like talking about her thing. And I just like took that moment. I like pressed pause and I pretended Rue like brought mine out. And I literally was like,
you pretended?
Acting. I was acting and sobbing.
No, you didn't.
And just being like, I love you, Ryan. Like, girl, you're going to have it hard, but, like, you're going to survive. Like, it was very, like, looking back on it, it's very vulnerable and deep, but also it's very funny. It's stupid.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it's very, I was like, Ryan, like, you know, like, all right, put yourself together. Let's watch the rest of the episode.
Ryan, when I was young, I used to, like, cry and then, like, go to a mirror and watch myself cry. It was fucked up. It was fucked up, but like I wanted to like feel it or experience
there
it.
There is something to that. There is something weird to that, actually.
Yeah.
I think more people do that than you think.
Yeah.
When, especially
I think
when they're younger.
I think so. It was crazy. It was really crazy. She talks to all of them. She talks to Jujubee. She talks about Jujubee holding back. Jujubee says she's a people pleaser. She takes care of others before herself. You know, I need this note. This is a note I've taken in the past where I've been like kind of been the only one holding myself back. Mm. Which of these four queens do you feel like you relate to most in terms of their struggle, their personal ish?
Sure.
Are you a Jujubee, a Raven, a Chad, or a Chanel?
I'm a Chad. I'm a Chad. It's not even I chase perfection. It's I'm not afraid to fail. I'm afraid for others to see me fail. That's what it comes down to.
Afraid for others. Yeah.
It's like the failure I learn the most in, and I've become like a better person because of, both in like my craft and like just a better friend and human. But it is real scary sometimes to like dive in. And like Chad for me is like such a great queen, but it's like that feel. It's the fear of falling and not being able to like really get back up or like find your footing.
Do you think I'm about to rue you?
Ooh.
Do you think that is that tied to your queerness or just your drive as a person? Period.
You know, that is so interesting. yeah, I would say a little bit of both because I think there's that part of me that wants to be successful and liked. Because of being a loser and gay.
Oh, God, I was such a loser. Wait, when were you the biggest loser? I'll tell you when I was the biggest fucking loser. I guess middle school was like fat and gay. And one time popular guys tricked me into walking home with them. And I thought just popular guys were asking me to walk home with them. And I was like, oh, my God, I've made it. And like I remember like the sun hitting my brow.
Oh my God, I'm nervous.
Like, I remember just feeling like perfectly, like, I was like, everything's gonna be better from here on out. Like, all these people, if I can remember, was it like Michael Rennie was one of them? Michael Renee, maybe his name was. James Bernard.
Oh, call him out, baby.
Chase something. I'm fucking calling
you
them
out. You know, one of them's probably gay now.
Yeah, definitely. Popping dicks in their ears. You faggots. They were like, let's like walk home with us. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. I would love to. And then at some weird point, I remember I've walked ahead, and then out of nowhere, my girl bullies have appeared.
Oh.
Anna Ruth.
Oh, I hate
Leanne
that
McClendon,
name
Tara Haskins, Katie Cook, Katie Mills.
They all have butt chins.
Katie Jones.
It.
Truly, those are all names. And they had dog shit on a log that they launched at me. And
Dave.
I had dog shit all over me. And then I like had to walk home with dog shit smeared on me. And then also just the shame of telling your like parents like what happened. You're like, oh, people think I'm a fat gay dork, so they threw dog shit at
me. My heart is hurting.
I know.
Oh my God.
It gets better. But it was worse then.
I'm now sitting across from royalty. Those jesters, fuck them.
Do you care to share something like that?
It brings me to...
to inspire our queer listeners.
Sure. I do remember this moment in... oh my God, this is... wow. We're really digging it back.
We're digging.
Sixth grade. All the people in my elementary school went to a different... middle school.
Okay.
And because of the borders or the lines of where I lived, which is...
gerrymandering, honey.
Oh, honey. It was...
Take that.
I remember, I had to go to a different middle school. And I remember I was just walking to school in the morning and there was a shoe, like, in the dirt. So I, like, kicked it away, like, from me.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it was someone's shoe of, like, a cool kid or something.
Why?
And
he, like, there?
I don't know. I was really confused. And he, like flat-tired me, like, grabbed me, like, put me in a headlock. No. And I just, it was, like, the feeling of, like, I can't do anything. Like, I have no social power here. Uh-huh. Or, like, I'm no one knows who I am.
Yeah.
Like, I am a loser. Oh, and also, Brittany Raymond. Ugh. She sucks.
Sucks.
Sixth grade. Also, she came up to me in the middle of math class. She goes... so, are you a homosexual? And I didn't know what that was. So I was like, yeah. And then she was like, oh my God, I'm going to tell everyone. And I was like, damn it. I said the wrong one.
Damn it.
I was like, I should have said no.
You
but...
indignantly were like, yeah, of course I am. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
That is like really loser, right?
There was a girl who used to make fun of me for the way I said colors. It was a girl named Melody Phillips.
I hate her already.
And we were like, I remember we were like in a group, some sort of group assignment in school. We were like, how should we divvy up these different categories? Numbers, seasons, like we had to pick some sort of like category system.
Yeah.
And apparently I said like, what about colors? And then she lost her mind laughing and like for the rest of the semester was like, hi, colors. And it kind of wrecked me.
Was it colors as in, like, it was a little flamboyant?
Just said it's so gay.
Colors. Because you're so excited.
Yeah.
What gay boy doesn't love colors? Oh, my God.
What about colors?
Oh, motto. Well, that's so sad.
Heartbreaking.
You know, I will say, it does get better.
It does get better.
In junior year, I was part of a very big group. I got cool. Uh-huh. It was very fun. And me and the Queen Bee.
I got cool. I love the way you said it, like, as if you, like, unlocked the achievement.
Oh, girl, but she did. Yes, she did. I wasn't top tier, but she was mid-tier, okay?
Girl, and she was dream level cool.
I literally got...
She wasn't Britney.
She wasn't Britney, but she was
S Club 7.
She was S Club 7 and loving and living in it.
Come on, 18s.
Come on. I knew 18s going to be in there. I knew she was.
All right. You good and yeah, I agree. I like by junior year of high school, I was like, okay, I'm figuring some shit out.
Yeah.
I had some freaks. Okay, so Raven talks about her tearing up in as Rue did a walkthrough. We also didn't get to see this. I would have loved to have seen this. Raven has issues about letting RuPaul down. I don't know why they cut this out of the episode. However, Raven gets a job later, so Raven is killing it. She's like doing Rue's makeup. I would way prefer a job over a crown.
Yeah.
Personally.
Absolutely.
Chad talks about wanting to be perfect. And Rue talks about that, the anxious ping you get. Like, basically saying, like, you're addicted to the payoff of that, like, anxious ping.
Oof.
And then overcoming it. Maybe it sounds like you are too a little bit.
Yeah. You know, wow. That is, it reminds me of this quote. This is really sounds really stupid, but like
I love it.
You know this as a performer. I don't really get big nerves on stage
uh-huh.
for improv anymore, uh-huh. but I do get nerves with other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I think I like read this quote that like I really love. It's so cheesy, but it's like having courage isn't like you're all of a sudden you're not afraid or you mm-hmm. have no more fear. It's like you're doing it with the fear, knowing you still have fear. And mm-hmm. It's like worded way better than that.
Yeah.
But I like love that because that pit will never go away. You're always going to have the pit, but you just got to know you can push through it.
Yeah. I try to think of transmutation, which apparently something in Buddhism.
Okay.
It's basically where you literally like you basically change, you use the energy and literally transform it. You take a moment to be like, I'm nervous. That means there's energy there.
Yes.
Let me literally use that energy into greatness.
Yeah.
Let me transform that energy into presence on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to be like, oh, that means there's energy there. Even if I'm nervous, that means I can just change the energy.
The moment you call it out is the moment you gain like power over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Then Chanel, Rube pokes at Chanel, saying, you seem so confident and put together. I wonder, is it covering something up? And she blubbers like, yes! She's just like immediately like, yes, I'm covering that up. I'm not that confident of a person.
Uh-huh.
She talks about her incredibly tough challenge of being a fat, tormented kid. Hello. Yeah. And how her mom was her best friend ever. Moms, don't do this to your kids. I have a tough position on this. I think moms, you got to be good friends with your kids, but don't be best friends with your kids.
I would 100% agree with
that. It's crippling.
I'm just going to, I know we're on a drag podcast, but here we go. Gay reference incoming in 3, 2, 1. The college cycle of ANTM, there was this girl, Victoria, who could not without her mom.
We've had multiple ANTM references on here, so this is welcome.
Great.
So she could not.
This is just her being like, okay, so they're done with the challenge. I just gotta call my mommy. You guys don't understand. I gotta call her. She's like my best friend, and if she doesn't call her, like she's gonna know because like I just like don't know what I'm gonna do. And it's like a whole season of that, but it's like incredible.
I can't.
But that's what I mean. What she was like, it's like she's crippled because you, like, I think my parents did it right. Like,
yeah.
I'm close with them, love them, but they're like, leave me alone.
I used to be that kid, but I had, thank God, I had older siblings who were just like, I was Buster Bluth. And then I had siblings who were like, that mom's fucking crazy. Just, you know, mom's fucking crazy. And I was like, no, she's not. Mom's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I saw her push down a china cabinet filled with porcelain. And I was like,
your
mom is crazy.
Your mom is going to be me in 2 years.
Storms brewing.
Oh, I can't wait. You better watch that china cabinet you got in your apartment. I'm coming over.
Then Chanel talks about her mom's passing. It's very moving. I want to say Chanel has such a journey from season one to this season. It's a real far journey. Like, she's such an asshole in season one, and she's so compassionate and real and interesting in this season.
Yeah.
From the girl who on stage said, I'm Miss Absolute Mandarin Vodka.
Yeah.
Really good moment.
Really good. All right, I'm on my way.
On your way. Rue smiles. Rue says some amazing moving Rue stuff. She says, Chanel says this awesome thing where she was like, I love what I do and I'm really fucking good at it. And I just, like, really moved me. I was like, yeah, we all deserve to be that, like, convicted no matter, like, whatever we are.
Yeah.
Like, just have that conviction.
And you know what? When you have that conviction, mm-hmm. I think it makes it okay to lose.
Yes.
Like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to be
fine.
You
know there's another thing.
You know you're working. You know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Rusum says amazing shit. Yeah, great. I love it. I think Rus, and she says, like, we're linked together forever because we dance to the beat of our own drum. God, being gay is better than being straight. I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I can't believe I used to be bummed about it.
There are still times, and I've been out for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
Thank you so much. I still have moments where I'm like, I love, oh, you know what?
What?
I went to Foo Bar for Makeout Mondays for their little drag show that they do.
What is that? It's Makeout Mondays?
So fun.
Okay.
It's like, this one woman, so it's the most beautiful thing of like, there's no middle ground. It's either baby Bambi, rickety legs, just sprouted up in our trying drag, or it's like
rickety
Bambi legs. That's like how I started. Or it's like older queens who just like really want to like serve. And I love that. And this one woman, they're like introducing, da-da-da, and she drove a fucking motorcycle into Foo Bar and did her number.
She did it.
And it's like, it's like, that's bananas. But like, I'm in.
I love it. That's a health hazard I'm here for.
And also, though, it was really short. It was concise, and I was really into it.
Yeah.
And lots of cuties.
Isn't it unbelievable how hard it is to do a compelling lip sync that's longer than like a minute and a half?
Yeah. So the thing I learned on Drag Race was she's not the best lip syncer because she hates to learn the words.
I'm not either.
Like, I hate it. But the thing I do find really fun is like movement, like a remix or when it moves, the song moves. But like I will say the queens who can like do a full song, it is insane because
it's stunning.
I don't know how to.
Me neither. It's really hard.
It's damn near impossible.
To find levels, movement.
That's the thing. Keep the energy so people aren't bored.
Yeah. Give something more as the song progresses. It's fucking hard.
You know who I think does it really well that is part of the UCB Drag Race family? Riani.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Persikian. Like,
who you lost to in your season.
I did lose to her. Yeah.
You runner up, though.
I was runner up, baby. Well, yeah, I should have won, but I didn't.
Should have won.
I should have won, but also didn't learn the words.
Oh, she doesn't know her words.
No, and you know what? We stand a character type because I carry that all the way through All Stars.
You're the Monique Hart.
Yeah.
So they gag over Rue coming into the room. They talk about what it means to win. Jujubee says, I want my face in the picture frame. Raven says, I don't. I just want the confirmation from Rue, the title. They're saying the same thing. It's like when someone disagrees with you, but you're fundamentally saying the exact same thing. When someone's like, I want the esteem of the job. And you're like, oh, I don't want the esteem. I want the notoriety. It's the exact same thing.
Sure.
Raven saying she's going to get in the Hall of Fame. Sad. Chanel says she knows she's not going to win it. Okay. Good for you.
Yeah, we respect.
Juju's disappointed because Chanel judges herself. Chanel says she would love to be the winner of this show. I don't expect it. I may not even necessarily deserve it, but I do want it. Can you imagine saying this in a job interview? Yeah. How crazy you would sound if you were like, I might not deserve this job, but I want it. Do I need it? No. But do I want it? Yes.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of my interviews out here.
Then we have the top two, Raven and Chad, in the lip sync. They're kikiing in the lip sync. We see some stuff that we don't see in the real episode. Chad wins. I kind of wanted more tidbits from Raven losing again, but I guess at that point she was like, fuck me, I'm runner up again and losing again.
Right.
Well, motherfucker.
I know.
Poor baby. She's in the best place possible now.
Yeah.
Arguably better than Chad.
I know.
Chad's like doing her thing and killing it, but what a steady job as a queer performer. What a gig.
I know.
Do you think the right queen won this season?
I do. I absolutely do.
Yeah, I do too.
And from the very beginning, I was like, because that was my intro to Chad. And I was like, oh my God. Hi.
Do you like this season?
I hate it.
A lot of people say that.
No, like, I really hate it.
Tell me more. Why? Because
I. It feels like
there's foam coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, I know. It to me feels like the best of the worst ANTM episode.
Yeah.
Of like stupid challenges that make no sense. I'm uninspired. I don't care. I hated it the moment they were in teams because I'm like, that's not fun and fair. Everything about All Stars 1, I don't find very. There's not many redemptive qualities about
it. Wow, burn it down.
But the one thing that kind of kept me in there at all was watching Chad Michaels perform, honestly.
It was amazing. I loved it.
We did get something that breaks my heart. I love watching it, is that Jujubee Raven lip sync, which is...
See, that lip sync.
Sorry, incredible. Down in the history books.
There are, fundamentally speaking, there's just too many weird moments in the season. There's too many challenges that are... feel like mini challenges, like yelling on the street.
That I hated that one.
Character impersonation, that kind of works for me. The girl group, that kind of works for me. This last one of running around doing an interview, saluting a burger, that doesn't feel like Drag Race Hall of Fame to me.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Very weird. But we're glad that we have Chad in the Drag Race Hall of Fame.
Yeah. May I ask your opinion on this?
Please.
This is maybe unpopular.
Please.
But this is what I believe. They teased this in All Stars 3 when they had Trixie, I think, come back. And then they were like, oh, so actually, the Hall of Famers get to pick the winner. And I thought that was so fun because none of them knew the journey everyone had.
Racing with the jury in All Stars 3.
So it made it so like Naomi was like that dark horse who was like, who? She's really coming in.
Oh, okay. So, but you mean, so in All Stars 3, the jury picks.
I'm saying.
And then in All Stars 4, they did not do a jury.
No, they didn't do a jury ever.
Right.
I'm saying they faked us out by saying that. Then Trix are like, no, just kidding. RuPaul, of course, is going to pick.
Oh, the fake out.
Yeah, but I'm saying I actually love that the Hall of Fame inductees get to like meet the queens, watch the last challenge. It kind of means even if you suck through the whole season, if you make it to the top four, you still have a chance. Like, it's like clean slate.
Yeah.
Which I honestly, like I said, unpopular opinion, but I love that. I also love the idea now that the jury is big enough, the Hall of Fame is big enough, where like they should be able to vote.
Right.
All Stars Hall of Fame, not
my pitch not. Is okay. So I disagree.
Okay,
just because whatever, I'm a cunt. But yeah, I think I was fine with that. But my pitch that I think would fix All Stars completely is the first half of the season is Lip Sync for Your Legacy, and the second half of the season is Lip Sync for Your Life. So it incentivizes you to get to that point, and then it's less about knocking out the strongest person, which we know always bums us the fuck out when we lose Shangela, Manila, yeah. Alyssa. It fucking sucks. So I think
this
it would
be— why I love it.
I mean, that's why it's compelling.
I think it's very interesting. And yeah. I would love to see a season like or just see how it plays out for one
please.
Season.
Please.
Also, it would give a fresh take on please. A very stale all-star format right now.
Please.
Yeah.
Before we go, we have to do some quick stupid segments.
Great.
I have to give a video. We're about to do A Star is Porn, where we give an award to a gay porn great. And today, I am going to give an award, the Video Vanguard Award, to Al Parker, a 70s vintage gay porn star with abs of steel, the mustache of Yosemite Sam, and dick like a skyscraper.
Oh,
he is awesome.
Oh, baby.
We salute you. We thank you for your contribution. He has some great videos. I would recommend checking him out. He'll fucking polishes a dick off better than a doorknob. He's good at what he does. How about you, Ryan? Do you have any?
Yeah, I'm gonna give actually best cinematography. To Mr. Twink and Mr. Twunk. I'm going to give, they really put a lot of money into those cameras. And
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it takes it up a notch.
It takes it up a notch.
Are you big on seeing the whole landscape or do you need a close up?
Both.
Both.
I like to know what's going on in the background.
Mix it up. And finally, our titular segment, Drag Her, where we drag a fictional character of your choosing. Okay, we're going to drag some people today. I'm going to drag the alligator from a thriller movie called Crawl. Have you heard of this?
Heard of it. Want to see it.
It is a movie where it takes place in a hurricane. Some people get stuck in a crawl space under a house. And as flooding happens, alligators become the major foes and monsters in this thriller horror. And this alligator, what I gotta say is, alligator, kick it. Move on.
Wow.
Kick rocks.
Deep.
The fuck you have doing in these people's houses? You don't own this property. You don't own property. If you could own property, yes, it probably would be a swamp, but you will never be that kind of girl. I want you to leave these people alone. I think alligators are nasty. There's a hurricane happening. Leave these damn people alone. Like, don't you have some stuff you need to hide for the hurricane? Don't you want to, like, hide some branches and some, like, meat pieces? Go take care of your business and leave these people alone, because, my God, the shit they go through, Ryan.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, my God. And it's gory.
Oh, lots of swimming.
And they make these alligators too damn smart. Off with you, alligator from Crawl.
Fair.
How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, mine is a time one. So it's like set, it is 90s Professor Xavier from the X-Men.
Yes.
90s specifically because in cartoon and comics, he is a sassy little bitch. Like, I'm talking like he's got one-liners that I'm like, will knock your socks off. And I'm like, these are teens you're dealing with who like also, you know, there's that queer narrative that like with the whole thing of being different. And I'm like, give them a goddamn break. Fucking Cyclops can only see red. Like, that's got to be really hard. Like, he can't see things with his like own eyes. And I remember it's like Cyclops is like, Professor, we got to like get in the jet or whatever. And the professor literally says something along the lines of like, well, you better get going then, kid. Or like, it's like, Jesus Christ. It's like they're putting their life on the line for your legacy.
Right.
You sassy. But also, a little bit Stan it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit Stan
him. God, I would be the same.
God. It's a lot. And I mean, also like too big of a mansion to be rolling around all the time.
Amen.
You know, Xavier. Also, like, it feels like your wheelchair is like, it's a little gaudy. It's like, we get it.
Yeah.
It's a little gaudy. I mean, pull it back a little bit. It's like, what are you auditioning like, for you, Showgirls? What are we doing here? It's so stupid. And he really needs people to compliment him.
God, does he? God,
does he?
That is, nothing's been truer.
Ryan, before we go, what would you like to plug?
So I guess I'm going to plug, please go watch We're Gonna Murder My Boyfriend.
Oh, it's so, so good.
Silly. I promise. It's like you can watch it, you can binge it. It's like so fast. It's so stupid.
It's really fun and funny. Yeah. Well made, well shot.
Thanks, BB.
Just jokes per minute.
Let's see, what else? I'm going to definitely promote, I think I have, I don't know when, you know, you never know when someone's going to be listening to this, but I am doing my new web series is called Man Eater, and it is a dark, dark gay comedy.
Oh.
And that hopefully should be out sometime next year.
Okay.
So just listen to this, keep it, tab it.
Okay.
And then maybe pull it up when it comes out.
Yeah. Okay, great. Amazing.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this. And what about you on social media?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. That's kind of like where I do all my bits and dumb pictures, at Rybrator, two R's. So RRYBRATOR.
Rybrator.
I do have a Twitter. It's locked and hasn't been used for 5 years, but I definitely looked at some tweets. I'm not funny on there. So truly, yeah.
Amazing. Great. Same with me. Follow me online, all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at my name, at Mono Agapian. Listen to my other podcast with Betsy Sodaro. It's on Patreon. It's called We Love Trash. We talk about all things trash, like ANTM, the reality TV, food, horror movies, and any other stupid thing you can think of. Yes, rate and review us on the iTunes. It helps. Give us 5 stars if you'd like. And if you say something awful to us, I will read it and I will say, you know what? I'm sorry you're having a bad day. And then I'll eat more of my ice cream.
Yeah.
Until next time, thank you again, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.